Boker Tov, and welcome to the opening shiur on Masechet Moed Katan. Several prefatory notes about the Masechet. First of all, the Masechet is made up of three prakim. It's a relatively short Masechet, and we'll be finishing it somewhere around or in the middle of Pesach. The name of the Masechet is really Masechet Moed, but because the whole Seder is called Moed, therefore they refer to it as Masechet Moed Katan. The small Moed, Moed Junior, as it were. The topic of the entire Masechet is one item and one item only, and that is those activities which are permissible and prohibited during the intermediary days of Sukkot and Pesach, otherwise known as Chol HaMoed, or in the verbiage of the Chachamim, Moed. Nature of the discussion in the Masechet is that it leads to many tangents. Already in the first Mishnah, we're going to be discussing the laws of Shemitah. Later on, we'll be discussing in the first parak the laws of Marot Negaim, and several other things which do not have direct relation to Moed, except for some analogous or similar applications of law. In the case of Marot Negaim, the question of seeing Negaim and Chol Moed, we'll get to that in a number of days. One of the interesting features of the Masechet is that the third parak, which occupies fully half of the Masechet, is devoted to, in large part in the Gemara, to the laws of Avelut, and indeed nearly all of the halacha of Avelut, of mourning, is found in the third parak of Moed Katan. And we will see that in about 2 weeks or so, 2 or 3 weeks. On the handout, and here it would be very helpful to use the handout, I put two sources down. I'd like to go through the sources together because they are very helpful in understanding the framework of the issue of Melacha and Chol HaMoed. And then, before beginning the study of the Sugya, I'll just go over several terms which are going to be used in our Sugya, and one prefatory note about Shemitah. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yod Chet Amud Aleph, which we'll get to after Pesach at some point, asked the question, how do we know that there is any prohibition of Melacha on Chol HaMoed? Minhani mili. Datan Rabbanan al Chag HaMatzot Tishmor Shivat Yamin, Nemer Achulo Shal Moed Shasur Basiyat Melacha. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia, the Tana, says that the fact that it says you have to keep the Chag HaMatzot for 7 days proves that the entire, all 7 days, including the intermediary days, have prohibitions of Melacha. You don't need that pasuk, as Kal V'chomer. And after all, the first and seventh day are not buttressed in between days of Kedusha. The first day is not prefaced by one, and the seventh day is not followed by one. Asur basiyat melacha. So Chol HaMoed, which is sandwiched in between days of Kedusha, certainly is asur basiyat melacha. So that proof is easily smashed. After all, you have every week, the 6 days of the week, they are prefaced and followed by Kedusha, which is Shabbat before and Shabbat after. Nevertheless, you are certainly allowed to do Melacha during those 6 days. So we challenge that Mala Shesh Dimei Breshit, She'in Bahen Korban Musaf. The 6 days, the regular 6 days of the week, there is no Korban Musaf. Tomar B'chulosh Moed She'ish Bo Korban Musaf. Certainly, we will all agree that the intermediary days of the festival are in no way just weekdays. Rosh Chodesh Yochiach. So we disprove it by showing Rosh Chodesh. She'ish Bo Korban Musaf. It has a Korban Musaf. Mutar Basiyat Melacha. Although there was a minhag, as we've seen several times, not to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, certain kinds of melachot, that's a minhag, there is no isur melacha. So ma'al Rosh Chodesh ein karui mikra kodesh, but Rosh Chodesh is never called a mikra kodesh. So ma'al Rosh Chodesh moed shikori mikra kodesh, it's called 7 days, you have a mikra kodesh. Ho'il v'kari mikra kodesh, din hu shasur v'asiyat melacha. Good. So Rabbi Yonatan's proof seems to withstand the challenge of both the 6 days of the week and Rosh Chodesh. We have another bright that says the following: Kol melachat avoda lo tasu limer achulosh moed shasur basiyat melacha. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili again learns it directly from a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva Omer einot tzarich arehu Omer eilem oadei Adonai. That the introductory pasuk to the entire parsha of Moadot, these are the festivals. Mekatu medaber. What's talking? Im berishonik kvar nemar shabbaton. Im b'shvi har ikvar nemar shabbaton. The first and seventh days of Pesach are explicitly mentioned vis-a-vis an Isur Malacha. It must be that this is referring to the intermediary days that they're also prohibited. We have another brayta. Tanya idach shesh yamim tocham atzot v'yamor shvi atzeret l'Adonai. So mashvi'i asur, the seventh day is compared to the 6 days. Just like the seventh day is an isur malacha, atzur, af shesh yamim atzur, and all 6 days are asur. So the problem with all of these proofs is that then the Cholosh HaMoed should have exactly the same Isurim as Yom Tov, and we know that that's not the case. So if that's the case, then just like the seventh day is Asur B'chol Malacha, except of course for Ochel Nefesh, so all 6 days should be Asur in such a way, and that challenge of course reads back on all of the proofs. That's why the text singles out the seventh day. So now, halo masran hakatuv. This is the key phrase. Halo masran hakatuv el chachamim. So the text handed over the purview of this to the chachamim. V'mar lacha eizu yom asur ve'eizu yom mutar, eizu malacha asura ve'eizu malacha mutaret. The phrase eizu yom asur ve'eizu yom mutar is a little bit difficult. And we'll deal with that when we get to Chagigah. But the part that we are concerned about is Ezu Malacha Asura Ezu Malacha Muteret. Which Malacha is permitted? Which Malacha is prohibited? And the upshot of the entire Sugya is that the Torah seemed to prohibit Malacha Nechol HaMoed and didn't define which Malacha and gave it to the Chachamim the mandate to decide which Malachot are Mutar, which Malachot are Asur. That's one way that this Sugya is read. The other way that the sugya is read is that the entire prohibition of Malacha Nechol HaMoed is midrabanan, and that's what the text here means, is that, in other words, the Torah doesn't prohibit any particular Malacha, the Chachamim, then again, we're given the mandate, but then those prohibitions are considered drabanan. Let's see what the Rambam has to say about this. In Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Zayin, which is the beginning of the laws of Chol HaMoed, he introduces it by saying, Chulo Shel Moed Afapi Shelo Ne'amar Bo Shabbaton Hu Evan Nikra Mikra Kodesh, Reuzman chagiga b'miktash asur ba'asiyat malacha kidei shelo yeheh kishar yimei hachol she'in ben kudusha klal. Notice that the Rambam's wording. He says that even though it doesn't say Shabbaton, which means there is no mitzvah d'oraita of resting, nonetheless, since it's called the Mikra Kodesh, and it's the time of bringing the Korban chagiga, therefore, it is asur ba'asiyat malacha, and he says the reason is so that it shouldn't be like a regular weekday. V'osev vo malacha ha'asura makin oto makat mardut. Somebody who does violate Chol HaMoed is punished with the punishment for violating a rabbinic law. Notice the Rambam repeats this. He says, after all, the whole purpose is that it should not be exactly like a weekday, totally like a weekday. Therefore, not all malachot are asur, like on Yom Tov. Therefore, some malachot are asur, some are mutar, and right away we are going to see in our Mishnah what an example of this, but the Rambam gives us the rule. Ve'elohim, kol malacha she'im lo ya'aseh otah b'moed yihyeh sham hefseid harbei osin otah. First of all, any malacha, that if you don't do it during Chol HaMoed, there will be a great loss, like for instance watering the lawn or something like that. Whatever the issue might be, taking care of something, if it's not taken care of today, then there's going to be a great financial loss. As long as there's not a lot of labor involved. Kitzad, so what's an example of that? And now he gives an example which we're not going to see because we're not going to look at. You can look at it on your own because that is, of course, from our Mishnah. I also, on the page, included the Perush HaMishnah, the first half of the Perush HaMishnah of the Rambam of this Mishnah, because he also lays out some of the same approach, and he says as follows, Ba'am Kabbalah, we have a tradition, Shecholo Shel Moed Asur Ba'asiyat Malacha, Mishnah Koreit L'Cholo Shel Moed Moed B'chol Makom. The Mishnah always refers to it as Moed. Chen Ba'er B'Kabbalah Hagdarat Malachot Shemutar La'asotan Moed V'Hagdarat Malachot Shasur La'asotan. V'zeu Inyan Masach Tazu. Okay, but his phrasing here is a little bit different. It makes it sound as if there is actually a d'oraita component to the Isur Malacha, as opposed to the way he presents it in the Mishnah Torah, where he clearly says it's all d'rabanan, and its stated purpose is to make sure that it is not like a regular weekday. So, with that introduction, we can now begin our study of Masechet Moed Katan. And just two prefatory notes. The first thing is just some terminology. Beit HaShlachin is a reference to any field which needs constant watering, for whatever reason. It needs constant watering and does not suffice only on rainwater. The opposite of that is Beit HaBaal, which is a field which finds rainwater to be sufficient. That is the first component. The second thing is that we are going to be dealing with prohibitions relating to the Shemitah year. So just a very quick introduction. The Torah forbids doing many field-oriented work, much field field-oriented work on the seventh year, the sabbatical year, the Shnat HaShemitah. We will see some of the details of that, but suffice to say it will unfold in front of us in the Gemara, and where necessary I'll point out explanations. Mashkin Beit HaShlachin, Mishnah Aleph, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Mashkin Beit HaShlachin Bamoed Uvashvi'it. You're allowed to water Beit HaShlachin on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. Ve'mi Mayan She'atza Batchila, whether or not it's a spring that has just come out on Chol HaMoed, Ve'mi Mayan She'atza Batchila, or whether it's an old one. We'll have to see why that's necessary. Aval Ein Mashkin Lo Me'eg Shamin, but you're not allowed to use a reservoir of rainwater. Mehakilon is some sort of a drawn water out of a cistern. We'll see what ugiot lagfanim are tomorrow, but there's some sort of a bed underneath the vines. You're not allowed to create an irrigation ditch at all, to form one, on Chol HaMoed or on Shemitah. Chachamim osin tamah batchila b'shvit. They said you're allowed to structure one, to build one on Shemitah. U'metaknin tamah kul kalot b'moed. On Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to build one, but you are allowed to fix a broken one. If the walls are broken down, the water is not going smoothly, or something's dammed it up, you could take that out. U'metaknin kul kuleh ha'mayim shvirshut ha'avim. We're now back in Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to fix broken water, whether it's sewage or water supply, that is in the public domain. Mechotetinotan, you're allowed to clear out stuff that's gotten in the way of its flowing. Umetaknina tadurachim, like rocks or something. Taknina tadurachim et harachovot et mikvot hamayim. Now this is away from water for the most part, but you're allowed to fix the roads, etc., and to fix the mikvaot. Vosin kol tzorchei rabim. Basically, you can do all public needs on Chol HaMoed. We'll see what the hagdarot of that are. U'metzaynin et ha'kvarot, you're allowed to mark graves, and we will see in the Gemara which kind of graves we're talking about, but the purpose clearly is to make sure that Kohanim do not inadvertently pass over a grave and become Tamei. V'yotzin afal akilayim, and the Beit Din can go send people out, and it does send people out, to make sure that they have uprooted any mixed seeds that are growing together that they need to uproot. Good. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses the issue in the second line of the Mishnah that it mentions not only a new spring, but even an old spring can be used. After all, you said you're even allowed to use a new spring, where even there might be a concern that it's going to cave in and you're going to have to fix it because you haven't seen if it works. Mashkin, you're still allowed to use it. Ma'ayin shaletza v'tchila, it's an old one. Delatim in pulim ebaya, that one you don't have any worries. It's been flowing for weeks or years or however long. Why did you have to mention that that is also permitted? So Amrit starich, we need it. Why? Yitana ma'ayin shaletza v'tchila, if we only taught that you can use a new spring, then I would have made the following errant inference. Have amena, hacha hu debet hashlachin in debet ha'ba'alo. It's only in the case of a new mayan, where is the component of the concern that it might fall in and then I'm going to have to fix it, that I'm limited to only watering Beit HaShlachin. Mishum da'atadin puli. Ava mayan shelo yatza batchila, but an old spring, to da'atadin puli, where I have no concern about it caving in, a mafilu Beit HaBaal nami. I might think, therefore, that I could even water Beit HaBaal, because after all, there's no concern here that it's going to cave in, I'm going to have to fix it or anything else, which means there is limited or next negligible Torah involved. So Kamash Falan, therefore the Mishnah has to teach us that Beit HaShlachin alone is permissible, regardless of what kind of spring it is. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara is going to discuss these words, Shlachin and Baal. My mashma, the high Beit HaShlachin, leishna tzachutahi. How do I know that Beit HaShlachin is a reference to thirst? Where does that come from? Dichtiv ata ayef viagea, in the context, pasuk number one on the page, of the war with Amalek, that Amalek attacked you when you were ayef viagea, tired, and we're going to translate it now, hungry. Look at Tosfot. Tzamei lamayim. And he brings a pasuk in Yirmiyahu to support it. Metargumina, what's the targum? Va'at meshalhe v'la'e. You were Mishalhe, and Rashi points out that the hay and the chet are interchangeable. This is, seems to be a Galilean approach. And therefore, Mishalhe, thirsty, shlachin, etc. Umay mashman hai beit habal leishtam de miyat vutahi. How do I know that beit habal is a reference to something which is slaked and satiated? Tichtiv ki v'am bachur betula. The pasuk, which is pasuk number two on the page from Yeshayahu, just as a young man has relations with a young girl, right? Metargaminan are kamad mitotav ulam im betulta it yatvun begavayich banayich. Just like, and the targum is that just like a young man lives with a young woman, so your children will live among your land, etc. It's a beautiful nevuah. But the idea is that it's a something which is settled, it's a settled field, and therefore it doesn't need constant attention. Good. Now, back to the content of the Mishnah. The principle underlying the Mishnah, as the Rambam points out in Perashat Mishnayot, is that, and as they point out in the Mishnah Torah that we saw, is that any activity which, if neglected, will lead to great financial loss, and the activity itself does not involve great labor, is permitted on Chol HaMoed. So Mantana, who is the author, the Pseida in Harvachalo, that it's only in case of financial loss, but not to create greater financial gain. And even when it's a case of financial loss, we still don't allow intensive labor. Who is that author? Ravuna Rabbalaz Ben Yaakov, that's who it is. Not, how do we know that? Rabbalaz Ben Yaakov Omer, Voshchinatamay Milan Leilan, Milvan Shalayashket HaSadekula. We have this Mishnah later on, that you are allowed to pull water from one tree, like draw water from one tree to another, as long as you don't fill the entire field. In other words, all you're allowed to do is to take care of, and as on Chol HaMoed, is to take care of saving the tree. So, Eimer Shamar Le Rabbi Elazar Harvachar Lo. All we know from Rabbi Elazar here is that you're not allowed to do anything on behalf of new gain. But the second component, which is that you're not allowed to do labor intensive, even in the place of great financial loss, we don't know that he holds from that limitation. Ela Amar Papa, so Papa disagrees with Ravuna, and he says, who's the author? Hamani Rabbi Yehuda, he, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, Mayana, Yotzebat Chila, Mashkinu Eno, Filus Sede Beit Habal. Divra Meir disagrees with our Mishnah and says that if you have an old spring, you can use it even for Beit HaBaal. V'yuromer ein mashkin elas de Beit HaShlachin shechava. The only thing you're allowed to water is a Beit HaShlachin, which is now dry. V'zorazai omer lo kach v'lo kach. He disagrees with both. Yatero ken amar, neither means neither. Tero ken amar b'yuda, lo yifanel dama mat hamayim v'yashkev l'ginato l'churvato b'chulo shomoed. B'yuda said you're not allowed to redirect an irrigation ditch in order to water your gina, your garden, on Chol HaMoed. So my charva, what's the charva that Rabbi Yehuda earlier said, Beit HaShlachin Shecharva? Ilei mecharva mamash, if it's really destroyed and desolate, so lama li demashkile, if there's nothing in the field, what are you watering it for? Vaya shecharva mimayan zeh. What does it mean, shecharva? It means that this spring is no longer feeding it, so now you need to get a new spring. Yatzala mayan acher, now a new spring is there, now you can use it. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. In other words, if there's a spring that's already going naturally into the field, you don't need to do anything. But let's say that spring is out, and a new spring is up, or an old spring that you can now redirect, that you're allowed to redirect into Beit HaShlachin. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda also holds that you're only allowed to do Malachan Chol HaMoed for Hefseid. Again, the same problem applies. We don't know that he limits the amount of Tircha you're allowed to do. Good? And then parenthetically, Belozman Azari Omer Lokach Velokach, meaning Loshna Chareb Ma'ayana Veloshna Lo Chareb Ma'ayana. That's what Belozman Azari is commenting on. It doesn't matter whether or not its original spring is gone. In any case, Lo, you're not allowed to do it. Belozman Azari takes a very severe position here. Now, who says that's the interpretation? Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda's position is that you're limited to Beit HaShlachin if it's a new spring, because that's what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Because of the concern we mentioned earlier that it might cave in. But an old spring, perhaps he would agree that you could water even a Beit HaBal. So if that's the case, then we'll run out of Tanoim. We don't have any Tanoim who could possibly support our Mishnah. Reb Meir can't, because Reb Meir says that you could use any spring, even for Beit HaBal. That can't be our Mishnah. Reb Elazar ben Azariah says you can't even water Beit HaShlachin, so that can't be our Mishnah either. So we're kind of left with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda lo shna mayan shatzavat chila shna mayan shalo tzavat chila. The answer is that we read Rabbi Yehuda wrong. Rabbi Yehuda says it does not matter whether it's an old spring or a new spring. Beit HaShlachin in Beit HaBa'alo. That's it. Now, so then v'haydik tani mayan shatzavat chila. So why did Rabbi Yehuda dafka pick mayan shatzavat chila? Why did he dafka pick a new spring? Odiacha kochod Rabbi Meir, to show you how far Rabbi Meir would go in his leniency. The Rabbi Meir says even a new spring can even be used to water Beit HaBal. He has an extremely lenient position. So now, to summarize what we've seen, as we're about to now start something, a new piece, is that our question was, who is the author of our Mishnah? We first floated the idea that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because in an independent statement, which is not part of a discussion with other Chachamim, he advanced the theory that you are only allowed to do work to save trees, but not to water a field. And all that proved to us was that you're not allowed to do something for a gain, but just to prevent loss. But that doesn't prove anything about labor intensivity. So then we saw, fortunately, a braita, which included three opinions from Meir, who was very lenient and said you could water any field with any sort of a spring. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who evidently said you can't water any field with any sort of a spring. And then Rabbi Yehuda in the middle of it, who said only Beit HaShlachin, and the way we interpreted it, Beit HaShlachin can now be watered with any kind of field, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda, with any sort of spring, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda indeed is the author of our Mishnah. Good. The next piece needs just one little bit of introduction. In Hilchot Shabbat, in Masachat Shabbat, a significant component to defining the prohibitions of a particular act is the issue of hatra'ah. Hatra'ah means the warning given by either the witnesses or other people present, the witnesses here, who warn the potential offender about what he's about to do and the nature of the malacha. In other words, not just you're about to violate Shabbat and you get skila for it, and he says nonetheless, and he goes ahead and does it, and that's how he can get killed, but rather they have to identify that is a subset of mevashel, and you're chayiv from mevashel, or whatever it may be. Which is a sugya that shows up in several places in Shas of defining what a particular activity is by how we view it within the purview of Hilchot Shabbat. That's exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to talk about watering and hoeing a field on Shabbat. Itmar. Hamanakesh v'hamashkem mayim lizra'im. Hamanakesh is hoeing, and mashkem mayim is watering Shabbat. Mishum mayim atrinan bay. So what's the hatra'a? After all, neither of those things is directly an av. Rabba Amar Mishum Choresh, Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zoreya. So Rabba and Rav Yosef, the same generation, contemporaries, disagreed. Rabba said both of them are plowing, and Rav Yosef said both of them are planting. Amar Rabba, Kavatidi Dimistabra. I think I'm right. Mar Darko Shel Choresh, what is plowing? The Rapuyara, soften up the earth. That's what hoeing and turning the earth over and watering is. And now Rapuyara, that's what this is. Rav Yosef, Kavatidi Dimistabra. Rav Yosef says, I think I'm right. Madar koshel zorei al tzamuchei pera. After all, what's planting? Planting is to make things grow. Hachanan mitzamach pera. Same thing here. It's making things grow. Amar Abaye the Rabba. So Abaye turned to Rabba and said, "L'didach kasha u'Rav Yosef kasha." Both you and your colleague Rav Yosef are challenged by the didach kasha mishum choreshi mishum zorei lo. Rav kasha mishum zorei in mishum choresh lo. Why do you say only choresh? Why does he say only zorei? In other words, we could have an activity that carries both avot with it. And if you're going to tell me it's because one action can only be one av, in other words, when there's two results which are problematic, or two components which are problematic, you're only chayiv for one, and therefore your disagreement is about which one of them is the significant one, but that's not true. V'yamarav kahana, zomeret tzarich la'itzim. If you prune a tree, and you also need the wood, chayav shtayim, you chayav two. Achat mishum noteya, one because of planting, because after all, you're helping the tree grow by pruning it. Achat mishum kotzer, one because of reaping, because you're reaping the wood by cutting it. So clearly, we hold that if you do one action that has two different components to it, you're chayav for two. So therefore, both you and your colleague Rav Yosef should say, choresh en zoreya. And indeed, the Gemara ends with kasha. Right, that's a difficulty, and we don't have an answer to that. Eitei Rav Yosef the Rabbah. But now, for a minute, we'll have to put that aside, and for longer than a minute, for about 1,800 years, we're going to have to put that aside, and say that we don't have a solution to that problem. But Rav Yosef challenges Rabbah on the assumption that only one of them can be the Av. Hamanakesh v'hamachapet l'chilaim. You have kilaim. You have mixed seeds in a field. So let's say that that you hoe around the mixed seeds, or that you cover them up. Lokeh. You get malkot. Rabbi Kiva adds and says, even if you just allow them to be there, meaning you're aware that the kilayim are there, and you don't do anything about it, you chayav makot. Now we'll have to see what that means. So now, Rabbi Yosef says, Bishlama ledidida mina mishum zoreya. Rabbi Yosef says, you see, according to me, who I claim that hoeing is a subset of planting, hainu da'asiro zriyaba kilayim. After all, planting kilayim is a problem. And therefore, if hoeing is a subset of planting, then I understand why you are chayav makot for hoeing. El didachta amar mishum choresh, but you claim that hoeing is a subset of plowing? Choresh b'kilayim miyasira. There is no prohibition of plowing relative to kilayim. Kilayim is a prohibition of planting and of helping them grow, etc. So that indicates that the way that the chachamim look at hoeing is as a subset of planting. Amalei, so Rabbi answered, Mishum Mekayim. Rabbi said, this is a different story. In Shabbat, you're chayav because it's choresh. And in kilayim, you're chayav because of Mekayim, because what you're doing is help to support and maintain the kilayim. Ay, v'hami niktani sefer b'kiva omer afa Mekayim, chadatana kamalav Mishum Mekayim hu. After all, the second part of the Mishnah said that Rabbi Kiva seemed to disagree and said, you're chayav for Mekayim. Obviously, that means that the first part of the Mishnah is not about maintaining kilayim, but about an action. So the answer that Rabbi gives is, kula Rabbi Kiva, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. My tam kamar, Rabbi Kiva, the last line is explaining the earlier part. My tam in the makesh v'chapet b'kilayim loke. Why is it that you're chayav for hoeing or for covering up kilayim? Because of Mekayim. Sure, Rabbi Kiva omer af Mekayim. Right? Now, my time with Rabbi Kiva, what's Rabbi Kiva's reason for saying Mekayim Kilayim, maintaining Kilayim, you're chayav for? The Tanya, Savcha lo tizrak Kilayim. You're not allowed to plant mixed seeds in your field. In li ela zoreya, all I know from that pasuk is I'm not allowed to plant. Mekayim inayin, how do I know that I'm not allowed to let them be? Tavalomar Kilayim Savcha lo. So they mix the words together. And if you read the words sort of backwards, you could also learn that kilayim b'sadcha lo, you're not allowed to allow kilayim to be in your field. This is admittedly a little bit of a tortured reading, but nonetheless, the notion of mekayim itself is something subject to some dispute among the Rishonim. Does it mean, as Rashi seems to say, that mekayim is simply allowing them to be there? Take a look at the Rashi earlier on the daf, where this piece is quoted. You see kilayim in the field and you don't do anything about it. However, Rashi says this in several other places. However, other Rishonim point out that that is very problematic because then you're chayav on a lav she'in bo ma'aseh. You're chayav for a sin of omission, which you can never be chayav makot for. And therefore, other Rishonim suggest that it means that if you do anything to help support or maintain, such as hoeing or covering them up, then you're chayav and you're chayav for that action. Good. We're still not out of the woods on this. Tanan, mashkin et beit hashlachin b'moed v'ashvi'it. Our Mishnah says you're allowed to water beit hashlachin on chol ha'moed on shvita. So bishlam ha'moed mishum tircho. I understand chol ha'moed. That's easy to explain. It's all a question of labor intensivity. Welcome Pseida Shah Rabbanan. The Rabbanan allowed such a thing. By the way, this supports the idea that all Malachan Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan, like the Rambam. Welcome Pseida Shah Rabbanan. The Rabbanan permitted such a thing in a place of great loss. I understand. In other words, Chol HaMoed is under the purview of the Rabbana, and therefore they can say which is mutar, which is asur. Ela Shvi'it, Bein L'madam HaMishum Zorem, Bein L'madam HaMishum Choresh, Zoriyah V'Choresh V'Shvi'it Mishari. Both Rabban and Yosef are in trouble here, because if you say that watering is a subset of plowing, since when are you allowed to plow on Shemitah? And if you say that watering is a subset of planting, since when are you allowed to plant on Shemitah? I mean, we're later on, we're going to have a discussion about whether or not you're chayav makot for charisha, for plowing on Shemitah. That's a separate problem. But the fact that it's prohibited, no question. So, if you, whether or not you say watering is a subset, as Rav Yosef said, of planting, or like Rabba said, of plowing, either way, why would it be permissible on Shemitah? So we have two approaches to this, Abaye and Rava. Amar Abaye, b'shvi b'zman hazeh, he says that Shemitah in our era meaning post-Churban. And why is that? For Rebbe, he, following Rebbe's opinion, the Tanya Rebbe Omer, v'zeh dvar ha-shmitah shamot, if you look at the pasuk from Parshat Re'eh, it has two Shemitahs, one next to the other. And what is the reason for that? By the way, the context there is Shemitah Ksafim. Remember, Shemitah, there are two things happen. One is, there's a prohibition of working the field. The other thing is, all loans get canceled. And Rebbe says the two are tied together. B'shtei Shemitot HaKatu Medaver. Achat Shemitat Karka, v'achat Shemitat Ksafim. That one of them is the resting of the land, the other is the resting, as it were, or the absolving of debts. Then that only one applies only when the other applies, meaning when there is no Shemitat Karka Doraita, there's no Shemitat Ksafim. Now, the original context of this discussion is within the context of Prusbul and Gittin, about how we justify making a Prusbul. So the famous opinion is that this is based on Rebbe, who says that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is Drabbanan, meaning Shemitah Ksafim is Drabbanan, because Shemitah, or it doesn't exist, because Shemitah Karka is Drabbanan. But the premise underlying it is that there is a time period during which Shemitah Karka is not, or is not operative. Otherwise, Rebbe's statement makes no sense. To say sometimes you do Shemitah, sometimes you don't, that only makes sense if there's conditions or circumstances under which Shemitah Karka does not apply. And so that would reasonably be with Churban Abayit or some level of exile. So Abaye says, Bizman HaZeh Shemitah is Drabbanan, therefore Bizman HaZeh, you're allowed to water the field, because if it's Drabbanan, the Rabbanan could say, Makom Pseudo, we allow it. Rav Amar Afilu Teima Rabbanan. Rav says, you could even say that this is according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who say Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is Doraita. Avot Asarachmana Toldot Lo Asarachmana. Rav has a curious position, in which he says that the Torah did not prohibit the same things in the field on Shemitah that are prohibited on Shabbat. On Shabbat you have avot, such as planting and plowing, and you have toladot, all the things that are subsets of it, like pruning, etc. However, when it comes to Shemitah, and pruning is a bad example, but when it comes to Shemitah, the Torah only forbade the avot, such as plowing and planting, and only forbade certain explicit toladot, which we'll see momentarily, and nothing else. Dichtiv, Ashana Shvi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton, Yala Aretz, Tzadcha Lo Tizra, etc. Now, take a look at Pasuk number 5 on the page, which is 3 Pasukim, and I'll read them. Shesh Shanim Tizra Sadecha, V'Shesh Shanim Tizmor Kamecha, V'Yasavta Tfuatav. So for 6 years, you plant your field and you prune your vineyard. Ashana Shvi'it, Shabbaton, Yala Aretz, Shabbat Ladonai, Tzadcha Lo Tizra, V'Chamecha Lo Tizmor. So the same two things are prohibited. Planting and pruning. Etzviach tzircha lo tiktsor, that's harvesting. Ve'inven zirecha lo tiktsor, that's harvesting a vineyard. Now, watch this. Mechte zmir b'chlal zriya v'tzir b'chlal k'tzira. After all, pruning is a subset of planting. And b'tzira, which is the grape harvest, is a subset of harvest. L'may hechotak avinu rachmana, why did the Torah write them? The Torah could have just said, sadcha lo tizra. And that's it. That you're only chayav for those toladot, nothing else. Almost like shnei ketuvim, where the Torah said, these are the toladot that you're chayav for and nothing else. And if hello, really, you're not chayav for other toladot? Atanya tzadcha lo tizra v'chamecha lo tizmor. We have a braita that starts with our pasuk. Ein li ela zeruah v'zimur. All I know is planting and pruning. How do I know that hoeing and other forms of fixing the ground, tamulomar sadchalo, karmachalo, meaning can't do anything for the field or the vineyard. Lo komalachashiv sadecha, lo komalachashiv karmecha. No work in the field or in the vineyard. Minayin makarsimin mizardin mfaskin bilan. This is talking about cleaning out the field of obstacles. Lo sadchalo, karmachalo, lo komalachashiv sadecha, lo komalachashiv karmecha. The same drasha. This is a question of preparing the ground in other ways, like putting down fertilizer. Now, I might think this means you can't dig around the olive trees, or to hoe underneath the vines, and not to fill in holes with water, which we'll see what they are tomorrow. It says you can't plant your fields. Planting was part of the subset of work. Why is it mentioned explicitly? To tell you that only things that are similar to it are prohibited. Planting is something which is common to the field and to the vineyard. So only activities that are common to the field and the vineyard, which means any activity that is unique to the field or unique to the vineyard, is not prohibited. But that now brings a very large spectrum of prohibitions, which certainly include watering, etc. So it sounds like all of this doraita is all learned from psukim, and therefore, how can you tell me that the Torah only forbade avot and not toladot? This seems to support Abaye that says that our Mishnah can only be referring to a time when Shemitah is drabbanon, according to Rabbi, who holds Shemitah is drabbanon. So the answer they give is midrabbanon across machtavi alma, that all of these prohibitions are rabbinic, and therefore the rabbis relaxed them in places of pseda, of loss, and the psukim are asmachta, which means the psukim are just simply used to prop up the prohibition. Kishkush b'shvit nishari, wait a second, since when are you allowed to dig underneath the tree on Shemitah? Aktiv ha-shvitish metena untashta, the pasuk in Mishpatim, which is the last pasuk on the page, pasuk number 6, you have to leave the field, tishmeten, and abandon it. Tishmeten, I mean the kashkeshu, and tashtam, I mean the sakel. You have to leave it alone from digging or from taking rocks out. He said there's two kinds of kishkush. Chad avru ilane, one is good for the trees. Chad stume pili, one is just filling in holes. Avru ilan, asur, anything that's being done to help the trees, to air out the trees, or give more room around the trees, that is already prohibited. Stume pili, but filling in the pits around it, that's shari, that's mutar. Tov, we have gotten off to a very robust start to the Masechet, and Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we will continue picking up in the middle of this sugya, discussing the issue of Harisha and Shemitah and the possibility of a Chiyuv Makot. Everybody should have a wonderful day.